Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run accountsrecovery.net, and I'll be moderating today's webinar on how to embrace technology and its impact on communication. Technology is changing the way that collection agencies operate from top to bottom. The change is especially being felt in how agencies communicate with individuals and how those people want to be contacted. Today, a panel of credit and collection industry executives will share their insights into how technology is impacting communication trends and how collection agencies should be adapting their business models. This webinar is being generously sponsored by VOAP. You'll get the chance to hear about them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about accountsrecovery.net. Accountsrecovery.net is a news and information platform for the armed industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the armed industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Now let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Robert Blair is a strategy executive with a proven track record of leveraging technology to increase customer contact and improve customer experience. He has been in the industry for a decade, managing the contact strategy and dialing operations for one of the larger agencies in the business, and is currently an independent consultant and is always looking for the next agency he can work with to help increase performance and profit. Jonathan Harbin is the Chief Information Officer at Frost Arnett. Jonathan and his team are responsible for managing the ever-increasing amount of data flowing through the company. Before joining Frost Arnett, he worked in technology-related fields at Nashville-based healthcare companies for more than 10 years. Jonathan earned a bachelor's degree in information technology from Middle Tennessee State University and is a certified information system security professional. Matt Kiefer is the Chief Officer for Information Development and Compliance for the Preferred Group of Tampa. He is a past president and current vice president of and education chair of the Florida Collectors Association. He served on the board of the National Healthcare Collections Association, was a member of the HFMA and MGMA, and is also an ACA scholar and fellow. He's been in the healthcare and collections since 2001. Matt enjoys shooting, MMA, CrossFit, and politics, and is not known for always being politically correct. Jim Warner is the Chief Technology and Security Officer at State Collection Service. He provides vision and leadership for all information technology and security activities across the organization. He's worked at State Collection Service for the past 12 years. Prior to joining State, Jim was IT Director at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. He graduated from Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania. Incorporated in 1949, State Collection Service has continually enjoyed above average growth by preparing for the future and maintaining a firm foundation built upon the trust and confidence of longstanding clients. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing and once the discussion is concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. With that, let's launch into today's discussion. Time was, all an agency needed was some phones and a printer to send out letters, but those days are clearly in the past. So Matt, how should an agency set up its IT operation today to capitalize on the changing communication landscape?
Well, I think first of all, if you're an agency, you've got to have a collection platform that can adapt to the different technologies and communication channels like email and SMS, voice drop, or it has to have an open API so that you can bring the vendor of your choice to integrate it with it and be able to communicate. But let's face it, that's the way consumers are preferring to be communicated with these days. And nobody wants to talk to a collector on the phone anymore. They want to either use their phone, go to a payment portal, or pay that way online.
I'll add, this is Jim Warner with State Collection Service. I think we all can agree that we live in a world that demands speed and lacks patience these days. I'd argue that email is moving out and other channels are taking its place, like instant messaging, text, video, all of them on mobile devices, right? Even at the office, you know, we're communicating more collaboratively via a cloud-based Office 365 platform using Microsoft Teams. Like with this type of technology, you know, we can communicate wherever we happen to be. And think about this as a consumer as well. Whether you're in the office, you're at a Starbucks on your laptop, a tablet at home, or your smartphone at an airport. It's engaging, it's convenient, and sad to say, it is more productive if you can actually turn off your device when you're able to. But what I'm trying to say is using this omni-channel communication technology in your agency so that you are well-versed and comfortable with it too helps out a lot when you're dealing and trying to deploy it to patients or consumers.
And so I'll add to that. This is Robert here. I think the biggest thing to take away here is you know, it's chess, not checkers. And so of course you want your IT and your contact strategy team to, you know, do what's needed to ensure success today. You know, often what can be overlooked is putting in the time and making the investments to ensure success tomorrow. You know, sometimes it's tough to convince the CFO investing in the new piece of hardware or taking a risk on a new software or new vendor is the right path. You know, but it's absolutely crucial that companies, you know, set up that infrastructure and their operations and IT operations to, you know, kind of always look at the horizon for what's going to be not effective right now, but 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. You know, if you would have told me that we would have been, when I first started, you know, about 10 years ago, that we'd be texting and instant messaging to try to, you know, get bills collected, I would have told you it probably isn't going to work. You know, obviously there's a lot of hurdles there, you know, to kind of move towards that, you know, but it's definitely being used right now. And I can see in the next 10 years that kind of being, you know, more of the norm. So really it's just putting a strong forward-thinking IT executive at the helm, you know, trusting their judgment and making the right investments to ensure success tomorrow, you know, and beyond.
I'll add, let me explain the email piece. You know, patients, customers, they want answers quickly. So we do use an email application so that we can send them documents that they may request. It's just quicker. It's more efficient than waiting for the postal mail. And then, you know, let's face it, sometimes it can be resolved a whole lot quicker than snail mail anyway. And the other thing I wanted to mention was in terms of setting up your IT and your operation, you know, the old days, you had campaigns, you had calling campaigns, whether it's unintended, attended, link back. What we do now is we use, if we have cell phone permission, for instance, we'll use the regular ATDS, but we'll also, we can SMS or have the person opt into SMS and basically takes them to a payment portal. But you can set up campaigns to like reminder messages, payment reminder messages, or your insurance has already been adjudicated. Please contact our office, you know, things like that. But the other thing is when you don't have cell phone permission, you know, we obviously use VoApps, but I've been using it for years. But being able to mix it up. So if you have cell phone permission, maybe you use a blend of attended and unattended or link back live, and you do it at different day parts, different days of the week to try and, you know, reach the consumer, obviously. But it's important to make sure you mix it up because you never know when that person's home or when they're going to answer. But the success I've found, I mean, especially like using voice drop technology, is that more often than not, people are using Hiya or something like that to screen their calls, and they're not answering the phone. But if you can leave a message in the background without disturbing them, you know, chances are, you know, likely if they're interested in paying, they're going to call you back.
Great point.
Excellent. Well, that's a good start. Let's move on. Email, text messaging, direct drop. We've all sort of talked about that so far. They're all clearly gaining traction in the industry. Robert, you talked about the need to sort of look ahead. So let's look ahead. What's the next stage of evolution for communications in the ARM industry as we try to wrap our hands around this, you know, email, text messaging, and direct drop voicemail? What's next? I mean, are we talking Snapchat, WhatsApp? You know, what should collection agencies sort of be looking for, preparing for next?
Thanks, Mike. Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think that most agencies are going to start snapping to try to recover bills in the near future. I guess it's possible, and you know, if someone's willing to do it, I'm sure that we'll hear about it. But I think as time moves forward, agencies will begin to do more business. You know, obviously with millennials, Generation Z, and generations beyond, you know, as we've already said, you know, that's how they want to communicate. You know, no one wants to talk on the phone anymore, at least not in those generations beyond millennial generations. So, I mean, you're going to see more of the texting, obviously email campaigns are kind of the norm right now, but you're going to see more of the omni-channel with the texting and the instant messaging and, even the little things like, just having the scan, I can't think of the name, but, the scan where you scan it with your phone and then it takes you to a payment portal when you send a letter, when you send an email, when you send a text. Obviously we talked about linking to a payment portal, which is absolutely crucial if you're going to be sending text messages. You know, I think right now dialing over the phone is still the bread and butter for many agencies, for most agencies. I think it's definitely possible the near future, you're going to see you're already seeing that, shift in dynamic where, agencies are going to start to shift more and more and more focus on alternative means of communication. You know, obviously I think the biggest hindrance right now is, the legal aspect. Obviously it takes a long time for the laws to catch up, the continuously changing climate of our industry, not just our industry, but really any industry that deals with technology, and communicating with people. So you're obviously going to see a shift. We've already seen it. I'm not sure about Snapchat, but definitely you're already seeing automation and technology when you go onto a website, for example, to make your payment. You have the little the icon down there like, hey, do you want to chat? Obviously folks are using that technology either in automated fashion or having, an agent attending to that. You see it more and more. Just about every website that I go on to make a payment for anything, you have that that automation that pops up, hey, how can I help kind of thing. So that's just one example of how, that technology and the millennial and Generation Z and beyond, kind of wanting this, texting type communication rather than a face-to-face or a verbal communication. And I think that companies that, conform and transform are going to be the ones that are the most successful and, leaving the dinosaurs in the dust, so to say.
Yeah, I would agree with Robert. This is John Harbin with Frost Arnett. And the application that he mentioned is called Papaya. And, being easy to work with and contacting these vendors and, making sure that when somebody does scan the bill that you send them in the paper, that it, goes to your payment portal. That's one of the examples of being forward thinking that Robert mentioned.
And I'll add to that. I mean, as far as going forward, I think you're going to see people wanting to pay their bill using, Apple Pay, Google Pay, other payment apps directly from their phone. They're not necessarily going to want to call and store a card every time. So it's very convenient for them to use a trusted method to securely store their card information and just use an app to pay a bill. And then the other thing I would mention is, payment IVR, where they don't have to deal with somebody. They can just call a number and that system, that IVR system, takes their payment right over to the phone and processes it. And then they get a confirmation number.
Well, that's a good segue into my comment. This is Jim at State Collection. I think one of the biggest and arguably most impactful trends in our economy is that of artificial intelligence. There was a statistic that I thought was really intriguing for us in the ARM industry. The 2016 White House Economic Report projected that 83% of jobs making less than $20 an hour will be impacted by AI. That's our call center reps, right? I mean, that's an existing initiative that we're embarking on, is known as an intelligent virtual assistant, or IVA. It's a technology that marries artificial intelligence with human speak or human understanding. And our conservative ROI on this initiative, exciting initiative, is to reduce call center reps' time on the phone, on the mundane and focus more on the more difficult conversations or those consumers that, you know, won't accept talking to a virtual assistant. For us right now, this is extremely exciting, and we feel that it's all about, consumer self-servicing, their experience with us and their preference of how they want to be reached.
Yeah, I agree with Jim. The IVA is something we've been experimenting with as well. And as you mentioned, you can take away some of that mundane time from your collectors, and different verticals work better with it. For instance, healthcare, a lot of times, are much tougher conversations compared to some other verticals in our industry, but you can still, even in healthcare, there's a use for it, even more so in other verticals.
And this is Robert. I would agree with both the statements made here. I think the, you know, even if you're not using, an automated type, IVA, even the standard IVR, obviously we're talking about moving towards the future, but, you know, the smaller agencies, you know, just may not have the investment to be able to invest into, you know, the AI at this time. But even, you know, if you're a small shop of just a handful of people, even a front-end IVR, there's a huge ROI. I mean, from my experience, that, you know, you can have a huge ROI just by putting a simple front-end IVR, you know, to make a payment, you know, capture consent, revoke consent, stuff like that. You know, just make things, you know, make it to where your agents can actually focus on collecting money, which is, you know, what you pay them to do.
And I'll just circle around on that too. Even if you don't have the resources to implement that, it's a very good practice that your technology vendors can. So it makes sense to partner up with somebody who can either integrate directly with your collection software or has that ability built in as a vendor, and they, you know, you're using them anyway. For instance, your Dider company or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It is. I mean, innovation begins with conversation, right? I mean, start having those conversations with your trusted business partners, your letter vendors, your ARM software companies, those type of, your dialer companies, your partners. Start having those conversations is my suggestion.
Excellent. Well, I'm just going to jump in for a minute and just want to take a quick second and pause the discussion. And what I'd like to do is invite Neil Jagoda from VOAPS to say a few words. Neil?
Thanks, Mike. And also thanks for all you do for the ARM industry. Looking here on the screen, I see a bunch of very handsome gentlemen. Most are actually clients of ours. And I just wanted to thank them for joining. So my name's Neil Jagoda. I'm the Senior Vice President of Sales at VOAPS, and I've been here since day one. We've been helping the ARM industry for a little over 8 years. We don't do any telemarketing, but we work with collection agencies, lenders, banks, credit unions, healthcare billing. And the thing is, nobody has to use VOAPS, but we do have hundreds and hundreds of agencies use us daily because it works. And we're just another tool in the tool belt. You know, I love the topic today about how to embrace technology and impact on communications, because if you think about it, it really is a different world out there today. I mean, how many of us answer the phone when we get a call from somebody and we don't recognize your number? I know I don't. But so I think embracing things like VOAPS and AI and some of the newer technologies out there is really important that you embrace them, because it's not the same old as it used to be. But, I think a lot of you know VOAPS, a lot of you know me. I'm going to reach out to you guys after this presentation. And if anyone is interested in discussing further, please let us know. And then again, make sure you guys embrace newer technologies like VOAPS and AI. Thanks.
Thank you, Neil. And thanks again to VOAPS for sponsoring today's webinar. And I just wanted to point out that, you know, sort of all of the panelists, Neil says are or may have at one point been VOAPS customers, that's completely unrelated to their participation today. I think that's sort of more of a testament to using VOAPS, that, you know, these companies were invited to speak because of their expertise and their knowledge and of the industry, and they just happened to be VOLAP customers secondarily, which I think sort of speaks to the depth and breadth of reach that VOLAPs has in the marketplace. So thanks again to them for sponsoring today's webinar.
Thanks, Mike. So
we've talked a little bit about, you know, sort of all of these new technologies. We talked a little bit also about the reluctance, you know, from some companies to embrace these, you know, be it you know, sort of afraid of legal issues or compliance issues, litigation issues, sort of the fear of the unknown, fear of the ROI perhaps. So I'm wondering, can an agency still succeed if it chooses not to deploy some new communication options like email and text messaging? And if that's the case, do you envision that will be the case for a while? Jonathan, maybe you can tackle that one first.
Yeah, sure. I think you mentioned it. A lot of the fear is around regulations and the cost of compliance. And you know, your question to can an agency succeed without those initiatives? I would say yes to that, but not for long. It's not going to be, you know, a few more years when your competitors are going to start implementing these technologies and experimenting and start passing you and taking clients if you're not willing to take some of those risks. So, you know, the political landscape and regulations can change quickly. So it's, you know, to be ready to take advantage of those as soon as possible.
This is Matt. I'd agree wholeheartedly with what you just said. I mean, you can just look at the mailbox as far as people who are actually mailing in physical checks, and it's just dwindling. People are wanting to use an online service or, you know, pay with other methods. And I see that going down. And as apps like Hiya and others, if the FCC doesn't come out with something that they can verify, you know, who the caller is, then I just see more and more people are not going to be picking up the phone unless they know who, you know, that where that number is coming from.
Yeah, this is Jim. Consumer landscape is constantly changing, as we're already talking about that. It has changed. Those new technologies and mediums to reach the consumers, their needs have been refined, and their expectations of us have been adjusted to the consumer landscape change. If we don't also adapt and embrace that change, I hate to be doom and gloom, but I do believe that it'll be very difficult to stay afloat.
Hey, and this is Robert. I would agree with all three statements. I think an agency is still going to be able to survive on a single channel, just making that call. But you know, it's tough to say for how long. I mean, it's going to be, we've already seen it, you know, the next decade or so, it's going to be a slope where companies that just choose not to evolve in the consumer contact arena are just going to become less and less effective. You know, we're still kind of really young in the age of text messaging, a little, you know, less young in the email as far as the readily, you know, way to communicate to consumers. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, your success today, just because it worked today, doesn't guarantee success tomorrow. So, you know, those that choose to not conform, you know, you're going to be less likely to pick up new clients. Obviously, you know, your customer base, you'll lose that. And, you know, eventually, you know, could be out of the race if you're not willing to, you know, do as everyone else is doing to be successful.
Okay, so if companies need to be sort of not maybe at the bleeding edge, but certainly closer to the leading edge and being more proactive in terms of adopting these technologies and then this omni-channel communication strategy, what kind of staff and support are needed for these new channels? And especially, how can smaller agencies manage that kind of infrastructure? Jim, do you want to talk about this one first?
Yeah, sure. I feel at the risk of repeating myself on that question, I really do think that you need to start having conversations with your business partners. I think that's where it all starts. You can't do it yourself. Even as a larger agency of about 700 employees, I still rely on my trusted business partners. I want them for a lifetime. And so I lean hard on my ARM software company. I lean hard on my letter vendor to help us advance into these new technologies and new channels.
Yeah, I would agree with Jim. It's a tough market out there for trying to find technology professionals and business analysts and things like that. The unemployment rate is astronomically low. So the same at Frost Arnett. We're one of a larger agency. And just like Jim, we're leaning on our vendors to help provide us with those capabilities, the software as a service, and using that instead of trying to build it in-house.
Hey, and this is Robert. I would I think that you're probably going to agree as well. You know, I was going to speak to the, you know, using a vendor and, you know, really just investing in the right people, you know, in-house, investing in a strong contact strategy executive, a strong IT executive, and really, you know, that's all you need is that, and, you know, really good vendor, as far as, you know, from a dialing perspective or from an omni-channel perspective. I personally have experience with Livebox. They have a great multi-channel platform. You know, they can work with just one or two members of your team and really handle all the contact strategy needs, both now and as we move more towards this multi-channel approach.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think, too, with as you adapt these new technologies, you're really going to need fewer collectors that are actually going to be making calls. I mean, you know, years ago, it used to be you were on a predictive dialer. You're sitting there waiting for a call to connect. Now you pretty much, if you flood the gates and you're reaching a whole bunch of consumers, whether it's VoApps or automated messages or a combination thereof, your call center basically becomes an inbound call center only. And that's just for the people who aren't going to pay using a virtual agent or an IVR or something like that. Those are the people that they're calling you for a reason. They either want to pay or they, you know, they have an issue. They have a question or something like that. But I think you're going to need fewer and fewer actual collectors to make the outbound calls. And that goes back to what you were stating earlier, as far as a lot of these jobs being wiped out. I don't think it will ever totally go away and be replaced, because you're going to have that certain population out there that actually wants to talk to a live body. They get either confused or they don't like talking to, you know, an IVR system. And how many times have many of us encountered the issue where you're in a loop or it doesn't understand what you said, and you're stating it over and over and over again, and it still doesn't understand, and you get frustrated and hang up. So, you know, those are the ongoing issues that will cause people to actually want to talk to a live agent.
I love the way you put it, Jim, in terms of leaning hard on your vendors. I was wondering, without giving away too much, is it possible to kind of give maybe an example or two of how that works or what that looks like?
Well, it looks like having constant conversation, whether it's weekly calls with our vendors on initiatives we're embarking on. It involves getting all of your partners together on some big initiative, maybe like the IVA that I spoke of earlier. Seeing those opportunities and constantly, you know, talking and having a conversation. We want to start texting. We want to start an IVA. What would that look like? Let's keep on having those conversations until we can make it a reality.
Excellent. Thank you. We talked a little bit about one of the reasons that maybe the industry has been somewhat reluctant is the possible return on investment. You know, certainly maybe it's not as, you know, not as much of a top button reason compared with compliance, but I'm wondering if you can share what the ROI could be expected for agencies looking to deploy new technology today. Maybe Matt, can you start this time?
Sure. I mean, I think that the ROI is going to be very high because you're adapting to the preferences of the people you want to communicate with, whether it's patients or other consumers. The easier you make it for them to deal with the bill that is outstanding, the obligation, and that you're reaching them by the method of communication that they prefer, obviously you're going to have a high success rate and a high ROI.
Yeah, I think to add on to Matt's, you're also going to be contacting these people, like you said, the way they want to be contacted. But at the same time, most of these contact methods cost less than sending a letter in the mail. So you're contacting more people, getting more payments, and reducing costs. So the ROI is very, very high.
Absolutely.
Right. We talked earlier about reducing FTE, right? I think that's a big ROI with these electronic self-service options like an IVA, easy to use payment website, chat bots. You know, this should reduce our labor costs, and that improvement to gross margin should fall directly to the bottom line. I'd have to say a soft benefit that may be really difficult to measure, but what about increased sales opportunities? I know some of our implemented technology tells a very compelling story to prospective clients that we're invested in their success.
Yeah, I agree with Jim. Many of our clients don't have these capabilities, so that during the sales process and you're able to provide these capabilities to those clients, it's a huge boost to sales.
I agree with that too. And I'll just add, you know, if your sales teams are the knowledge experts, I mean, they really know operations, they can communicate the abilities your agency has that can help your potential client. I think that's just a win-win all the way around, and giving constant feedback as well.
Using all of these technologies, maybe we can go through and sort of just create a list or summarize what tasks that can be automated through technology today that maybe not would not have been possible a few years ago. What do you think about that, Robert?
Well, so I'm not sure of any specific that couldn't have been done a few years ago, but I can tell you that automation is definitely much easier and much less expensive, than it was a few years ago. I mean, really, I think that everyone can agree, anything that can be automated should be. Obviously, you're going to reduce your payroll costs, and I think that, not to sound like a broken record again, but using the vendors, this has really made things a lot easier, because now, the vendors have, they've already made the investment, in the infrastructure. They've already made the investment, and everything really just starts with, getting them on the phone and saying, hey, here's what I want to do. They can help you automate a lot of these tasks, work with a strong developer, either in-house or work with their developers to, leverage these ideas and technology. You're going to reduce payroll costs through automation. I mean, and that's the ultimate goal, is to, reduce your payroll costs so that you can, invest more money into the technology and improve the bottom line.
Yeah, and I would go back to something Robert mentioned at the beginning of the call, too, that the key in connecting all of these and automating everything is going to be your ARM software vendor. And there are many agencies that have been on their current platforms for 10-plus years, and it works perfectly, but, it's starting to fall behind when it comes to embracing all these new technologies. And I'm sure everyone on the call loves the thought of converting systems, which is always fun. But it really does pay off to get on a more modern platform that enables you to integrate and automate all of these services and vendors easily.
This is Matt. I'll agree with all of those statements. And then I'll just add a specific example. Years ago, your dialer would go out and your agent's on the call and they're putting notes on the account. But now when you have certain result codes coming back from your dialer or VOAPS or whatever, you can map it to do a specific strategy. For instance, if the code that comes back says the number's invalid, you can automatically change it to a skip trace status and have a job pick up all the skip tracing status codes and send it to your skip tracing vendor, have it come back, change the status back to active with a new number, things like that. But a lot of that would have had to been done either manually in separate jobs or by a person actually touching the account years ago.
Excuse me. In terms of where the industry is, where agencies are, what opportunities in terms of do you see collection agencies or creditors not fully taking advantage of as it relates to communication technology? Jonathan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a couple that I've seen not as much movement on as I would expect is, you know, a lot of people in the industry use scoring models and propensity to pay and things like that, but most of us in the collections industry are sitting on a mountain of good data. And what kind of contact strategies worked in the past, what times of day. We also have demographics, and a lot of times employers, I don't think a lot of, most agencies are taking that to the next step of being able to create, you know, champion challenger strategies to say, for instance, I'm going to communicate differently with a 25-year-old lawyer in New York than I am an 80-year-old farmer in Tennessee. The lawyer may get two texts and an email, whereas, you know, the farmer, you might two phone calls and a letter. And being able to develop those strategies based on the mountain of data that we're all sitting on, that's one for sure. And then another that I'm surprised to not see a whole lot of movement on is, you know, a lot of these dialer vendors are providing these omni-channel communication platforms, and a couple of them I'm starting to see offering the ability to create smartphone applications. I see that being something that grows a lot in the future, that if you get people to download that smartphone application and sign up for pay plans, you can now push notifications to their phones, which is, of course, you know, free and cheaper than any other kind of communication method.
I'll add to that and just say that I think agencies, I think it was Harry Strausser that told me the other day that something like 60 or 70% of the agency collection agencies out there are considered small agencies. And, you know, there's this unwillingness to adapt new technology because nobody wants to be the guinea pig. They don't want to be facing a TCPA suit, for instance. So maybe they're not going to accept or adapt to voice ringless voicemail technology like VoApps offers. But I think they really need to consider it. The problem is you have all these different court rulings depending on where you're calling across the country, and you don't want to get sued in, you know, California, for instance, and then face a class action lawsuit, especially if you're a small agency and you can't afford to take that kind of hit.
Yeah, I'll say, in all truthfulness, I didn't get paid for this, but an opportunity most agencies not taking full advantage of was VoApps. Are you taking advantage of VoApps, of the direct drop voicemail? Social media. Do you have a Facebook business page? Do you have a LinkedIn page? Those are some simple opportunities that I hope most agencies are aware of and can take full advantage of.
And this is Robert here. I'll add to that. I mean, you know, I think, again, it really just depends on where you are as an agency. You know, I think we realize that many of the shops are small shops, and, you know, some of them, you know, may still be using a hard phone like I did when I first started just rubbing the numbers off the phone. You know, but I think that more and more, especially with the ease of the vendors and the information that's out there, and I think more and more are kind of embracing not only just the omni-channel, but, you know, like when it comes to dialing, for example. I mean, you know, there are, you know, TCPA ways, you know, to dial that are compliant for TCPA, offered by many vendors that are much more effective than manually dialing the numbers off the phone, and you're still compliant. You know, at the end of the day, nobody wants to be, you know, sued, but if you don't conform at least a little bit, then you're going to kind of be left in the dust. And, you know, really, there's just a few things that an agency could do, make small changes that are going to make a huge effect on the bottom line. And really, you know, it's just like Neil said earlier, like with VoApps, just adding another tool to the tool belt. I mean, at the end of the day, you have multiple different options out there to reach your consumers. And, you know, obviously, you have to work together. You know, with your compliance department and your contact strategy and your operations department. I mean, you know, it's the yin and the yang there. But I think, you know, if you're willing to put into the investment into brace into the new technology in regards to communication, it's definitely going to be something where you're not left in the dust, and you don't necessarily have to go, you know, full bore. And now you're just a, you know, like a Google where everybody's sitting on the beanbag chairs and the balls and, you know, playing football in the office. I mean, you can make small steps towards, you know, just getting better. And it really doesn't take a huge investment. It really just takes, I think it was Jonathan said, just the data that we're sitting on. I mean, that's huge. I mean, really all it takes is a good analyst or a good vendor to go through that data and say, hey, this worked, this didn't, let's try this. And you know, unfortunately doing the same old is, you know, is going to cost you money at the end of the day.
I wanted to circle back to that, Jonathan, in terms of, you know, you mentioned the data and analyzing it. Is that something that you're actively doing at FrostNet? Is it something you aspire to do? How is that strategy playing out at your agency in particular?
Yeah, it's something that we're fledgling, you know, creating as a data scientist team. And again, it's another position that's very hard to hire for and commands very high salaries. So, you know, it's something that we've discussed with some peer groups like Inside Arm, and perhaps, you know, some kind of agreements between agencies to share information like this. So we're all sitting on these treasure troves and no one wants to share, you know, what's working and what's not. So I definitely see things trending that way. There's also, you know, the thought of there are websites where people can drop data sets onto a website and pay people for whoever comes up with the best idea or the best algorithm. That's something that the airline industry has used and Netflix to say, we've created this algorithm and it's this results. If you can create something that's better, we'll pay you $5,000 or something like that. And there is a large amount of people out there that are data scientists that are doing this freelance and are willing to look at that data for you and give you a better algorithm than what you're currently using.
Yeah, State Collections is embarking on that as well, the revenue cycle data, some predictive analytics, trying to look at that opportunity as well. We currently also use speech analytics. So we take our conversations with the reps and live and post-call do some analytics and scoring of our agents based on those conversations.
And I think this is Robert. I think to wrap it all up, you know, tie into kind of the operational piece of it is, you know, the biggest piece is what we're talking about is omnichannel and getting consent and, you know, working with your operations team to come up with a plan to start capturing consent if you don't have it from your clients. You know, that's kind of the biggest piece that is really the hardest thing to start is like, how do we capture consent? How do we allow for revocation? How do we store this data? And then, you know, the first step is just getting your operations team while they're on the phone, you know, with the consumer to get that full and complete and also to get that consent so that you can then, you know, not have to use the tried and true, the old school dialing method. You can now use some of these other channels, you know, to be more effective in your contact strategy.
This is Matt, and I'll add also communicating with your clients too to make sure they're aware. In some cases, they're not even aware of TCPA, and you know, for instance, what should be in their guarantor agreement. I know we've helped a lot of clients basically adapt to incorporate language to allow to express permission to call a cell phone with them and their affiliates, as well as make them aware of the revocation need and that they need to, you know, let their agencies and or affiliates know if a patient or a consumer revokes consent to call their cell. You know, it's just a hotbed of litigation, especially here in Florida.
So we've also talked a little bit about the reluctance. We've talked a little bit, you know, some of the reasons, compliance related, you know, maybe just sort of, if it isn't broke, don't fix it type of mentality that some agents have. How can, you know, we as an industry push these other companies that maybe are a little behind the technology curve? You know, should we be pushing them toward this, you know, this new horizon that we're talking about today? Or is it something where, you know, it's sort of a kill or be killed mentality, and if they're not going to adopt it, then that's the choice they're making, and you know, sooner or later, you know, they'll probably become extinct as everybody moves away or moves toward this new dynamic.
This is Matt. I think that we need to agency owners need to have honest conversations with their vendors and technology partners, but they also need to look at, you know, court cases, where they're calling, you know, what states they're calling. And for instance, if they're hesitant to use ringless voicemail, then they need to have a conversation with that company and just have discuss, you know, ways they might partner together, or perhaps the technology vendor will defend them in a lawsuit, for instance, if they're concerned about a TCA violation. You know, there's court cases out there where the manually assisted call using an automated dialer, but it's not automated and it skirts the TCPA. Some companies have already won in court, some have not. But what happens if you get a different court case and, you know, and it's in California this time and you get a different ruling? You know, those are the things you just have to have honest conversations with your technology partners.
And I would just add too that even small agencies can join peer groups with the larger agencies. And unfortunately, a lot of what scares the smalls is that threat of litigation. But you know, the only thing that can help is the lobbying efforts of some of our peer groups, you know, Inside Arm, ACA, joining in, being involved in those groups and helping us, you know, get safe harbor language on TCPA and all those, and from the CFPB and things like that. We can all band together and make everyone's lives better.
Right, and I'll say the obvious here. Let's overcome fear. Let's overcome the fear of litigation. Let's overcome fear of change. Let's overcome the fear of, you know, the possible large investment in time and money. We can do this. We have to do this, I think, to survive.
And I think to sum it up and to add to, you know, it doesn't have to be done overnight. You know, a lot of the times with the fear of the unknown, you know, you think that, man, you know, if I have to conform and change to all this and do all of these things, you know, the race isn't over, you know, at the end of the month, as, you know, we've all been trained to react, is at the end of the month, the race is over. Well, at the end of the day, you know, you have to realize that these changes are going to take time. You know, the laws are going to take time to conform, but eventually they will. And then, you know, you don't have to make all of these changes overnight. Really just making small changes every day, every month, every year to work towards, you know, a goal, I think is probably the easiest thing to kind of come to grips with, because unfortunately, you know, we live in this now society that sometimes, you know, taking that large investment and realizing that it may not come to fruition until, you know, a year down the road is sometimes a tough pill to swallow, but it will come for sure.
Agree.
Jim, loved the way you put it, of sort of overcoming fear. Is it just that, you know, maybe the IT or the IT manager or whoever's trying to push this isn't doing a good enough job of selling it? I mean, is it that there just isn't enough, they're not focusing on maybe the ROI? I mean, how do you sort of get that agency to overcome that fear and take that leap?
Yeah, it's a large investment in time. I think you need to start by building, at least how I do it, I try to build a business case with the skeptics in mind. You know, those who may not fully embrace the new technology or embrace the change that this new technology will do for your agency. How do you build that business case? Maybe you set a clear vision, make it very compelling. You need to identify a champion, probably someone outside the technology department. You don't want it to be me. Highlight some quick wins. Try to find some quick wins, because as was said earlier recently, you know, these large investments in time can take a year or 18 months. Try to find some quick wins. Seeing those wins, I feel, will make it so much easier to believe in and thus adopt that new technology. And, you know, everyone always could offer incentives like corporate apparel, office perks, and those things. I think doing those type of items, building that business case and getting motivation around it, incentives, I think that will certainly be a good start to, you know, if you're on the fence or not embracing that new dynamic.
Let me throw in just a little quick story here. I'll say when I've been using VoApps for years, but when I first came to the preferred group at Tampa, and I wanted to implement using the technology here because I knew it would drive the inbound calls, I told my boss, I said, if it doesn't work, I will pay the first month's bill. I just had to throw that in there because if he's listening, I know he'll probably be laughing.
That's not an incentive I would do, but go for it. Yeah.
And I guess it worked.
It definitely, we're still using it to this day. And again, we use multiple different platforms to drive the outbound calls, but the whole purpose is to drive the inbound calls because they're not sitting there waiting for a dialer to reach somebody.
Yep.
We've got a question that came in, and this is a chance to remind everybody. We've only got a few minutes left, so if you have a question, now would be a great time to type it into the Zoom webinar control panel so we can try and get to it before the end of the discussion. But a question is, how do you justify the ROI prior to investing in new technology? Is the ROI more money collected, less FTE salaries, or a combination of both?
I'd say combination of both. One other thing you can do too is, and a lot of companies will offer this, you know, a free trial. Try it and see what happens, and then measure the results, measure the payments that came in.
Yeah, I agree. Never. I think that comes back to what Jim said as well, is find those quick wins. You know, I know here at Frost, when we looked at text messaging, you talk to the IT engineers a lot of times, and what happens is, you know, all those hundreds of hours of integration work and revoke, and how are we going to integrate this and that, and it gets what if to death. You can start with a small subset, a small client test, and you know, get those results, and then you'll realize that ROI is there. And again, like Jim said, you have to build that business case, and it has to be a combination of the need for the business plus the projected ROI and the costs all together.
Yeah, I failed to say, when you build that business case or ROI in that business case, work with that new technology business partner. Put the onus on, work together, collaborate with them to build that business case and ROI. Make it a win-win. Have that new technology partner have some skin in the game as well.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
For an agency that hasn't tried anything beyond phone calls or letters, where would you recommend they get started? You talked to me about this idea of quick wins. What would be sort of a few quick wins, in terms of adopting an omnichannel strategy?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was mentioned earlier. I think the quickest, easiest, highest ROI technology that you can implement is an IVR. It's become very prevalent in our industry, and if you're not doing that's where I would point somebody to do that first.
What about VoApp?
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Robert. I would also agree with the IVR. I mean, in my experience, you know, there's huge ROI that's there, relatively easy to set up. You know, typically the vendor that you're using for dialing, has something already, you know, available to you. And then at that point, you're just working with their development team and your development team and your payment, you know, processor, their development team. It's typically something that's pretty quick and easy, and the benefit is instant and huge.
And if cost is a concern, you know, again, there's companies out there, whether you want to do scoring or something else, they'll give you a free trial period or a certain number of accounts to score and scrub and just be able to demonstrate that ROI, and they'll do the analysis for you. Just got to ask.
I hope everyone by now certainly has a payment website. If you don't, you need to. You're way behind the game, and work with your letter vendor or your ARM, your SIS ARM partner. Those are quick wins.
And I would say,
go ahead.
When people talk omnichannel, the first thing that comes to mind is text and email. And I would say, just from our experience, the email has been underwhelming compared to text messages as well. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, a lot of people have Yahoo email addresses, Gmail, things like that. And if any, you know, a number of people, 50 people, mark those emails as spam, it's not too long before 99% of your emails are going straight to people's spam boxes. So we were underwhelmed with the performance of email, especially compared to text messaging.
Absolutely, and agree with that.
And I'll add one thing. If there are agencies out there that don't have a payment website, I mean, we just partnered with a great company called Repay, and they had the ability to actually build the portals for us and direct the traffic to their site, and we would just have to have the URL. Now, we have our own payment portal, so we didn't need to do that, but that capability is out there. You just got to check with your payment processor.
Yeah, and I think another benefit to that payment portal, too, that people may not think of using an outside person there, probably Jim and myself, you know, the security focus, is that you can outsource a lot of your PCI compliance by having someone else take on that payment portal for you.
Absolutely.
Excellent. We've only got a minute or so left, but what I'd like to do before we wrap up is go around the panel and have each of the panelists share some parting words of wisdom, maybe a chance to summarize what they talked about, or even cover something that they didn't get a chance to talk about but wanted to share before we ended the call. So just to get a quick wrap up from everybody, Jonathan, we could start with you.
Yeah, I would say an easy way, I think, to wrap up all the comments that were made is to lean on your vendors. There's no reason that many of these things should be built in-house. Utilize your vendors.
Excellent. Thank you. Matt?
I would just say, be active in your associations, stay ahead of the game, and be aware of, especially in the compliance arena, be aware of what's going on just by being engaged. Don't sit back on your laurels and be in an agency for 10, 15, 20 years doing the same thing and expecting the results to keep coming in, because you have to adapt with the times.
Excellent. Robert?
I would absolutely agree with both of those points, but to add to it, I would say, you know, don't be afraid to make that investment. You know, as I said earlier, it's really tough to go to the CFO or the CEO or the board or whoever it may be to say, hey, you know, I need $100,000 for this, or I need $20,000 for whatever it may be, you know, or I need X amount of, FTE. You know, don't be afraid if you're a decision maker to make that investment, and to invest in the right people. You know, to put someone, you know, a strong IT leader, a strong contact strategy executive, you know, in place that's going to work with these vendors, that's going to work with, you know, your operations team, that, you know, putting in the time and making that investment so that, you know, you have to put that investment in place today so that you can, you know, eat tomorrow.
Well put. Jim, last word.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate the invite here. Innovation begins with courageous conversation. Start having those courageous conversations internally in your own agency, but I think so more importantly, also have them with your trusted business partners.
Excellent. Well, Robert, Matt, Jim, Jonathan, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. Really appreciate the quality and quantity of information you provided. I also want to thank BOAPS one more time for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.boaps.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated, asked questions, and stuck around with us today. Really appreciate that. A recording of this webinar will be available later today on accountsrecovery.net. And please stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for news and more webinars in the very near future. Panel, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.